here on earth. In John 14, 26, it says, "But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you." So that word advocate, it means a person who pleads for or in behalf of another. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. He came to comfort us, to help us, to guide us, to remind us, to teach us, to come alongside of us, to counsel us. And he intercedes with us and advocates for us. And this is how we know that God is with us. God's Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us when we ask Jesus into our lives. Now, I'm not trying to give a theological discussion. When you research something, you read so much, right? And then you talk about this much. You know, as a growing up as a dancer, for every 2 minutes you see a dance on stage, there's about 20 to 24 hours of practice, right? And so this is kind of what it feels like. So if you need to know more about the Holy Spirit, please talk to your Pastor Marty, Pastor Chuck. I'm sure they would love to go into a theological discussion. But what I'm finding is if God was small enough for my brain to fully understand, he wouldn't be big enough to save us, right? And so the Holy Spirit, when we talk of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about three in one. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit that lives and comes inside of us. And the Holy Spirit is what, like I said, helps direct and guide our lives. In Galatians 5, 16 and 17, it says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting against each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions." I thought about good and evil, you know, in the old cartoons where the devil's on one side and the angel's on the other, and they're both like going at, like trying to get you to do something. But there's no area in life in which the believer does not need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need to let the Holy Spirit guide us. And I saw this picture and I literally laughed out loud when I saw it. And I know it's a hot topic, but I'm going to use it anyway. So we have Jordan and Rodman, right? And Rodman is going, "My responses to the people on social media." And Jordan's like, "Nope," pulls him back. And that represents the Holy Spirit. And that's just a little depiction of what the Holy Spirit and who the Holy Spirit does in our lives. Because we want to go over here and we want to be like, we're just going to tell everybody how we feel. And the Holy Spirit's like, "No, you're not. No, come back. You know, we want to go over here, but I'm just going to go over here. I'm going to do this today." And the Holy Spirit's like, "No, not today. No, you're not. You know, I just want to say this." No, you're not. You're going to be quiet. And so that's, if we're able to tune in to the Holy Spirit, he's going to help us and lean us in the direction that we're supposed to go in. I found this story. A park ranger at Yellowstone National Park was leading a group of hikers to a fire outlook. The ranger was so intent on telling the hikers about the flowers and the animals that he considered the messages on his two-way radio distracting, so he turned it off. As the group neared the tower, the ranger was met by a nearly breathless lookout who asked why he hadn't responded to the messages on his radio. A grizzly bear had been stalking the group, and the authorities were trying to warn them of the danger. You see, that's what happens when we tune out the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit keeps us from something that could be harmful for us. It keeps us from something that could be dangerous for us. Don't tune him out. Dial into the Holy Spirit. Dial into who God is in your life. He is with us. We just have to dial in and ask him to direct and lead our lives. He is with us. And we must understand that God is with us to understand how he sees us. And which leads me to my second point. Know how God sees you. We will never be everything God created us to be if we can't recognize how God sees us. So we're going to talk about Gideon for a moment. I encourage you to read this story in Judges chapters 6, 7, and 8. So I'm going to just paraphrase it a little bit today. And we pick up the story where the Israelites had done evil in the sight of God. And so he handed them over to the Midianites. And as I read this, to me, I just thought the Midianites just sounded like big bullies, or really what they were. They were bullies. Every time the Israelites would plant a crop, they would come in and take the harvest away before the Israelites could get it. And so for 7 years, this went down. For 7 years, the Midianites went into the cities where the Israelites were, and they took their crops, they took their livestock, they completely ruined their cities, which left the Israelites poor and hungry and miserable. For 7 years. And finally, the Israelites cried out to God, "We need you, we need your help." And then this happened, and we meet Gideon. In verse 11, chapter 6, it says, "The angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a winepress to hide the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, 'Mighty hero, the Lord is with you.' 'Sir,' Gideon replied, 'if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles that our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites.' Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites I'm sending you.' 'But Lord,' Gideon said, 'how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe, and I am the least in my entire family.' The Lord said to him, 'I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man.'" And that's exactly what happened. There are some other interactions that happened between Gideon and God, but Gideon went on to defeat the Midianites. He was a military strategist. He organized people, and he walked with purpose. But as you can see, he didn't start out that way. He was hiding in a wine press, keeping away from the Midian site because he didn't want them to come and steal what he was doing. He was thrashing wheat. Now, if you don't know what that is, you can YouTube it. I did. It makes a mess, okay? And you read about the threshing floor throughout the Bible. So he would put the grain in a bag, and he would bang it on the floor, and all the stuff that wasn't good would just fly away and the grain would stay. So he was doing something that was normally done outside. He was doing it in a basement. Why? Because he was scared that the Midianites were going to come take it. He was hiding. He was fearful. He was timid. One would maybe even say he was weak. I wouldn't say that he was a mighty hero at that moment. Would you? Far from it. You see, it's easy to call someone a mighty hero when they're doing something that a mighty hero would do, when they're acting like one. To me, if he was a mighty hero, he'd be outside, he'd be thrashing that wheat, he'd be like, "Come on, Midianites, come at me," right? I'd be like, "Yeah, that's right, he's a mighty hero, take that." That's not who he was. But God saw Gideon for something different. When I first started going to CrossFit, Coach Dan, who's here, we would do something called the dynamic warm-up. And what he would do is there would be like 12 or 15 of us, and he would line us up in lines. And so three or four of us would go across the floor at one time, and he would call out this. He'd go, "First row of athletes, go. Second row of athletes, go." And I remember hearing him say that, and I'm like, who is he calling an athlete? Like, well, I mean, Brad's here. Okay, you're here. You're the coach, though. I think there was some college soccer player who was really good. She's an athlete. But I'm like, who is an athlete? What is he saying? And so this would bother me. It bothered me for like 2 weeks, and I'd just roll my eyes. Of course, I probably roll my eyes now at him too, but for something different. So I rolled my eyes, and I would just start doing the dynamic warm-up across the floor until one day it honestly hit me. What he was doing was changing our mindset on how we looked at ourselves. Because if we could see and believe that we were athletes, then we would start acting like one. We would work harder. We would eat better. Maybe not so many Swedish fish. We would become the athlete that he saw in us, and we would become more driven. Why? Because I'm an athlete. And that's exactly how God saw Gideon. He saw him as much more than how Gideon saw himself that day. Think about it. Gideon said, "I am weak. I am the least in my family." But God said, "But you're strong, and I'm going to use you because I am with you." Gideon began to walk taller. He began to think better, to work harder, and he began to live the life that God had saw him to live out in the first place. And the Bible says that from that moment, for 40 years, Israel lived in peace because Gideon saw himself the way that God did. There are some men and women here today that have let your thoughts about how you think of yourself keep you from being who God has created you to be. There's some teenagers here today and kids that have let your thoughts keep you from being who God has created you to be. There's people in here that have let other people's thoughts of how they think of them keep you from being who you are, who God has created you to be. Christine Kane says it this way, don't let anyone's opinion of you eclipse what God has said about you. God says you are a mighty hero. God says you are a confident woman. God says you are a masterpiece. You are strong. You are courageous. You are wonderfully made, and you have a purpose. Zig Ziglar says, it's impossible to consistently behave in a manner inconsistent with how we see ourselves. We can do very few things in a positive way if we feel negative about ourselves. There's a movie called Overcomer, and if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. It's a very good movie. And without telling you too much about it, there's a coach in there who's struggling with his identity. And there's a theme throughout the movie, and the question is asked, who are you? Who are you? What defines you? And the coach in this movie realizes what defines him and uses this girl that he's coaching on the cross-country team. And I want to show you the clip when she finally realizes who she is. Go ahead, guys. Yeah, that's good. You see, our value needs to be dependent on who God says we are, not anybody else. You should be defined by the one who loves you most, by the one that created you to do something amazing. That's where your definition, that's where your identity comes from. There's a quote in the movie, and he says, your identity will be tied to whatever you give your heart to. Does God have first place in your life? Have you given your heart and your life fully to him? Because that's where your identity will lie. Wherever you give your heart, that's where your identity is. Can you confidently say the words that she did? Can you confidently say that I am created by God? He designed me. I am not a mistake. His son died for me so that I could be forgiven. He picked me to be his own, so I am chosen. He redeemed me, so I am wanted. He showed me grace so I could be saved. He has a future for me because he loves me. I don't wonder anymore. I am a child of God. Can you confidently say that? I make copies of that statement for you to take home. Put it on your mirrors. Take a few. Put it all over your house. I already put it up in our house. Declare this over your life as a reminder. Maybe you already walk in that, and that's cool, but remind yourself. Before you walk out the door, whose you are. Because you don't have to wonder who you are when you know whose you are. You are a child of God. God sees you as a masterpiece, and that is what matters. He looks at you and he sees the potential. Just like he looked at Gideon, saw a mighty warrior, that's how he looks at you. That's how God sees you. When we can testify that God is in us, knowing that he is with us, we can walk confidently in how he sees us. And everything changes. Do you know today that God is with you? And do you know today how God sees you? Will you stand with me today? For those of you that know me, there's usually a song that goes along with the message. Even if I don't share the song, it's a song that I play probably for 2 weeks before I even share. And there's a song that talks about just this, who you say I am. And I just want us to just listen to the words, sing the words if you know it. Don't sing a lie, but really begin to proclaim who you are in Christ, as he's just going to sing a little bit of the song. But let's sing it together.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Oh, I am who you say I am. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. My Father's house is a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house is a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Would you just close your eyes with me today? And if you want to pray this prayer, lift up your hands. And let's just everyone repeat this after me today. Say, God, help me to know you are with me. Let your Spirit guide me. Help me to believe you have a purpose for me. Help me to be confident in my identity. I know you love me. I am not a mistake. I am a child of God. Amen. Amen. Let's give God some glory and praise today. I hope you leave today knowing that God is with you and knowing how God sees you. He sees you as a mighty warrior, a mighty hero, and a strong, confident, courageous woman. Amen? Amen. Well, so glad that you were able to join us today. Come out Thursday night. Brad T. will be sharing. We love you, and hope you have a great day.